Today for our Friday Forum webinar, we welcome UVA alum Lane Stickley. Lane is a recent UVA grad earning her bachelor's degree in government and Spanish. Lane is currently a development associate at Hanover Research in Washington, D.C., where she's presenting the Friday Forum today. We are thrilled to have Lane here with us to share her experiences as a sales professional. Here is Lane Stickley with the inside scoop, the not-so-scary side of sales.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Marianne, for that introduction. So as Marianne said, I graduated from UVA this past year in the class of 2013 with a BA in government and Spanish. I began working in an inside sales role shortly thereafter and am here today to talk to you about a life in that kind of role. So to make this as interactive as possible, as Marianne said, I'm going to pose a few questions throughout my presentation. From my understanding, we are able to use the talk buttons here. We're able to use some talk buttons right here with the that is highlighted here. And I'm going to pose these questions just to kind of get an idea of how many of you feel a certain way about the points that I'm presenting. I will also plan to take questions, as Marianne has said, and I have my handy-dandy assistant Katie here with me today, so feel free to type whatever you want, and we will pause for questions so that we don't forget anything important. So, just to go ahead and give you guys an idea of, or just to go ahead and get an idea of who I'm speaking to today, could you please click on your raise hand button if you graduated in the past 5 years? Okay, good. Now, who graduated longer than 5 years ago? Okay, good. All right, excellent. That's very helpful in kind of helping me determine who I'm speaking to today and what everyone's experience level is. So as for my plan, in researching how I was going to present to you guys today, oh, thank you for that last one. So in researching how I was going to present to you guys today, I watched a couple of previous webinars and heard a presenter say before me, he'd never heard or of someone complaining about a speech being too long, or too short, excuse me. So I'm going to try to limit my talk to between 30 and 40 minutes, and I think this will allow us some time for questions at the end. So to keep on track and give you guys an idea of what I plan to cover, here is a quick overview of my presentation. My main goal today is to break down this misconception of a job in an inside sales role as a life of misery. And just to clarify, I want to give you a clear definition of this term, inside sales. So if you Google inside sales, Forbes describes it as remote sales, which I agree with. It's basically selling any product or service offering in any manner that isn't face-to-face. So then I will go into a little bit about my job and kind of what I do each day. Then that will lead me into common misconceptions about the sales industry and what my experience has been in relationship to those. I will talk about what I do on a day-to-day basis and a breakdown of how I spend my time so that for those of you who might currently be in a sales role, you'll be able to benchmark what you do against what I'm doing. Lessons learned. So from this, I'm going to discuss the things that I've learned. Although I've only been working for about 9 months, I've learned quite a bit, and I think that it could be relevant to people in other industries, people in my industry. So I'll share some of these thoughts to get everyone thinking. How to position yourself as an ideal candidate, interview prep, applications, what to do, what not to do. And this is based on experiences that I've had in doing interviews and just hearing about colleagues giving interviews as well. I'll jump into important characteristics, so things to highlight in the interview process and things that you might want to possess in looking into jumping into this industry. I think there are a wide variety of people who can be successful in sales, but I think that there are also several key character traits that are found in a very successful salesperson. And lastly, I will share how sales is a good launching pad for a life in sales or in another industry, and how you can apply the skills you learn in this industry to a wide variety of different jobs. So, but first, I would like to start with what I do. So as you can see here, I was a little confused when graduation came around. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, so I did what all of my friends were doing. I complained to my roommates about how hard it was to find a job. I asked them which jobs they were applying for, subsequently applied for all of the same jobs, and tried to attend every career services event possible. At the spring 2013 career fair, I saw a friend who graduated the year above me and clung to her for familiarity's sake. After a few minutes of small talk, I started to kind of wonder why she was there. She had graduated, and she told me she was there with a company. She gave me a brief description, introduced me to two recruiters who are pictured here, who are now two of my good friends, and 8 interviews and 4 long months later, I was employed as a development associate in Hanover Research's district administration practice. So that is our K-12 practice. And I have to add a little caveat here that 4 months and 8 interviews is not the normal time span, but my due diligence in keeping track with them and you know, really telling them how much I wanted this job really paid off when they didn't have a position open originally. I'd also like to note that, my position is a development associate. As I said, sales is all about developing relationships with clients, so this can be referred to as development, this can be business development, marketing, or sales. So there are a variety of job titles, but a lot of them mean the same thing, especially when paired with this word associate, which normally just means entry-level employee. So the way I normally introduce Hanover is that we are a custom research firm. We serve nonprofit and for-profit clients. And my role as a development associate, or a DA, which is how I'll probably describe it today, encompasses supporting a development director, or a DD, with whom I work one-on-one to bring in new clients in the K-12 sphere. I was very fortunate in being placed with a director who not only exceeds her monthly, quarterly, and yearly goals, but is also someone who really values professional development and supports me in everything that I do. So that is a little bit about me now for this industry as a whole. And this is our K-12 page on the Hanover website, just in case anybody is interested. So I'd like to start with some common misconceptions that everyone has about the sales industry. Everyone, including myself, has had some preconceived notion about what a job like this could entail. So I'd like to pose a few questions to kind of get an idea about what you guys are thinking. So first, how many of you envision a job in sales as working at a call center with hundreds of people in an open room dialing number after number? And go ahead and click on that raise hand button if you feel this way. Okay. How many of you believe that a job in sales is mindless and can lack creativity? All right. How many of you believe that a job in sales is only an entry-level job and has a very high turnover rate? Okay. Excellent. So as I said, a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth about a job in sales. We have negative media portrayals, horror stories from friends to thank for this. But a job in sales can be engaging, strategic, and one that lasts for many years to come. So the first misconception I'd like to debunk is the idea that a job in sales means that you're sitting in a call room or on the phone for the entire day logging dial after dial. In my time as a development associate, I have never logged a call. I sit in an office with one other person and probably make about 20, no more than 20 calls a day. As I'll explain later, my day is primarily focused on writing emails and researching the best way to reach out to someone. So with the exception of my loud talking, our office is a fairly quiet place. This brings me to my next point. Creativity. So the number of calls I make each day is pretty low because, as I said, my focus is on outreach that is strategic. I never pick up the phone to call someone without researching who they are, what their title is, what their background is in, whether or not they've appeared in the news recently, and what they prioritize in terms of research because we are a research firm. I always jot down a few key points, relevant partnerships, industry news, so that what I have to say is coherent, relevant, and will be well received. Due to this, I never have anybody hang up on me. I've never had someone say, I'd like to be removed from your list. And I find it to be a nice challenge to figure out what people are interested in hearing from me. Lastly, this idea that an inside sales job is temporary is something that might not be true. A job in inside sales can be a job that you have for 1 year, for several years, or the rest of your life. And while it's not for everyone, a lot of people are motivated by the fact that the amount of effort you put in is normally directly correlated with how much success you have. And in terms of compensation, you are normally compensated based on how successful you are. So people are motivated by this kind of these two big things. There are a lot of people who I work with who decide that after a year, they've had a good deal of experience, they are glad for their time at the company, but they'd like to move into something else, and they're going to use the experiences they've had here to find a new job. On the other hand, you have our chief development officer who started at Hanover fresh out of UVA and has seen the company grow from 7 employees to 250. So he's made great strides for our company, but the fact that he's stuck with this company and that it's a small one for 7 years now has enabled him to rise to the C-suite level very quickly. So obviously these aren't the only misconceptions that people have about sales, but they're the ones that I hear most often from friends and from prospective employees. And they can certainly make people shy away from the industry. So what do I actually do on a day-to-day basis? I'm going to break it down based on these percentages just to kind of give you an idea of what I'm doing. So I think what I do is probably a pretty good mix of a little bit of what you would expect me to be doing and a lot of what you wouldn't expect. So as is expected in this role, I often find myself reaching out to people over the phone who don't know who I am, they don't know why I'm calling. This is your dreaded cold call. While this is a part of my job, I and most other people who are in my role at my company only spend about 10% of their time doing this because most of the people I'm calling have someone screening their calls for them, like an assistant. I'm often asked to send over an email with some more information for my request. In the 9 months that I've been working, I have certainly understood that a generic email template is not effective. Finding an article relevant to why you would like to speak with someone or relevant to them or their organization is a much more effective way of getting 15 minutes of someone's time. So this tailoring emails to someone specifically takes thought, it takes time. This is probably about 40% of my time and is the same with my peers in this role. Then there is something like scanning the internet for news and relevant industry news. So this serves several purposes for me. This is, number one, a confidence and a clout purpose. As I said, in an industry where I need to speak intelligently to someone on the phone to convey what I'm asking for them, it's very important that I come across legitimate and intelligent. So if I have industry news that's backing up what I'm saying, if I have this previous knowledge of what's going on, then I generally sound like a more intelligent person. People are going to be more receptive to what I have to say. In addition to this, there are still some people who think that doing business in person is more comforting for them. I often scour the internet for events and conferences that my boss can go to, and this is really helpful because that way she can go to this event, she gets the word out about our company, she meets with a higher volume of people, and she makes connections with people who might be clients down the road. So this scouring the internet for industry news and for events probably takes up about 20% of my time. Then this last 30% of my time is probably split up between a large variety of tasks. This includes writing contracts, writing proposals, which takes quite a bit of time, making follow-up calls. I also am often making presentations to educate my peers in my company on what's going on in my industry so that they can use that in their calls as well. So I can honestly say that I'm very challenged in what I'm doing, and I'm excited to be doing it, which keeps me excited to come to work every day. So, what have I learned? I think that I've learned a lot in these past 9 months, but there are a couple of things that are directly related to sales that I'd like to share with you today. So, number one is being confident on the phone. We've touched on this a little bit, but whether it's ordering a pizza or calling to make an appointment with someone, you need to sound comfortable on the phone. I find that where I would normally hesitate to pick up the phone to call someone and ask them to come fix something at my apartment, I have the confidence to say what I need, ask them what the timeline for this will be and whether or not that's feasible, so it's in a direct manner. And that brings me to the ability to ask. When a colleague of mine started a few months ago, I started probably about 3 months after me, he had been working at a publishing company, and he told us that he was calling clients for this publishing company and calling authors, and the reason why we're so uncomfortable sometimes in these roles is because you're calling and asking someone for some of their time, for money at that moment, or for money down the road. You're always asking them for something. You have to keep in mind, this is your livelihood, and it never hurts to ask. So you're not going to get anywhere if you don't ask anyone. It's worth the awkwardness for the moment, because oftentimes people are more receptive, and this, if you're posing in an intelligent way, they'll be very receptive. Keeping track of your praises. So as I mentioned before, my manager does a really good job of trying to keep me engaged in professional development activities. Recently, she had me go sit with our director of sales support, who had me learning about Google Trends. While we were sitting there, I got an email from someone in the company praising something I had done earlier that day. She saw the email and asked, okay, what do you do with this next? I'm a little confused. I thought, well, I normally just put it in the folder that corresponds with the person's name, or pretty much a random folder in my inbox. She encouraged me to make a folder for myself called my Atta Girl folder. And this Atta Girl folder is where I keep all the emails that I get from people praising things that I've done, or goals that I've hit, or any sort of accomplishment. In an industry where presenting qualitative data is the clearest way to demonstrate your successes, I am now able to show anyone who asks how often I'm praised, what I did to get there, and the numbers that reflect these accomplishments. That next is write down what works for you in being successful. So shortly after I began working, I fell into routine. I no longer felt like getting up at 6:30 in the morning was going to be the end of me, and I knew how much time I needed to dedicate to each task at work to be successful in my job. I wrote down the calls that I was making and how that got me to my goal so that I was able to communicate that effectively to my boss. Now we work much better as a pair because she knows how much time I need to dedicate to certain things each day to get us to goal, and then what I can help her with in addition to that. So write those things down. So after these lessons that I've learned, I'd like to share a little bit more about what I think makes someone successful in applying for these types of jobs. So how to stand out as a candidate. While a lot of these lessons can be applicable across industries, I think that as a candidate, you can do a few things very successfully that will make you stand out. So we'll start with focusing on words and breaking down individual words, phrases, and sentences in your cover letter and in your resume. So when I wrote my cover letter for this job, my brilliant roommate sat me down and said, we should break this down and kind of model it after the job description that you've been presented with. So my job description was modeled after the sales cycle because this is a sales job. So I made my cover letter flow like the sales cycle. It was mentioned in there I didn't really have any previous knowledge about the sales cycle, but I was able to tailor it specifically that way and was complimented on that. You would be surprised at the number of people who don't even write specific cover letters. So on that note as well, do not send in generic cover letters. Make sure that you're writing relevant things, and if there's some sort of process mentioned in the description about, you know, responsibilities or tasks that you'll be completing, try and tailor your cover letter in that way. In addition to that, you want to leverage knowledge of industry terminology and relevant technology. So again, per the advice of my roommate, I didn't really grasp that although I had been working in retail in college, this was directly relevant to a job in inside sales. So again, the sales cycle had been mentioned. I Googled it, I figured out the steps, and I took each responsibility that I had in my current job and matched that with steps in the sales cycle. So I was complimented on this. It was one of the best cover letters I've ever written, and it certainly made sense for what I was applying to. On that same vein, referencing lingo that's specific to the to the industry you're applying to is very important. So one thing that she suggested I do is reference CRMs, or customer relationship management tools. So a lot of companies work with databases. My company works with Salesforce. I had never used Salesforce before, but I wanted to refer or show people that I understood the industry and that this was something that might be expected of me and that I had some sort of applicable experience. So I referenced it in such a way and said, you know, I had experience with this governmental CRM, and it was helpful in demonstrating that I had knowledge of industry terminology, that I valued the organization that a CRM creates and maintains, and that I had experience with some form of relevant technology. But arguably more important than this terminology and technology in this industry is mentioning numbers or a return on investment. Sales is all about numbers. This could be evident in determining your territory and setting your goals, in reaching your goals, in determining future projected growth. So when writing a cover letter or editing your resume, include any number that represents a specific contribution that you have made in a past or current job, in a leadership role, or even in volunteer roles. An example of this would be, I consistently hit goals X number of months in a row, or oversaw a team of 20 people. Even training is applicable to a sales role, so mention all of this stuff. Including these quantifiable metrics presents you as someone who understands the nature of the industry and enables a recruiter to easily benchmark you against candidates who appear comparable to you. And lastly, reach out to people who work for the company. LinkedIn was made as a networking tool, so use it in that way. Do not hesitate to reach out to second or third contacts. If they're willing to connect with you, maybe briefly over an email or over the phone for a little bit, you can ask them a few questions. I've never had someone say no to this, and most people are happy to speak with you about their experiences. This is also something that we do in sales, reaching out to people via LinkedIn, so it shows that you're brave, you're already taking steps towards immersing yourself in this type of culture. So, after you've applied, and once you obtain an interview, you need to gain a clear idea of what the company is actually doing and who they do it for. So know the product and review the company beforehand. Understanding the product offering is huge. If you're kind of having trouble understanding what it is and you want to ask your interviewer, pose it in a thoughtful way. So instead of saying, I don't know who you work with and I don't know who the target audience would be, you might want to say something thoughtful like, I'm interested in the custom aspect of the service offering, but I'm not sure who the target clientele is. Would you mind elaborating on that a little bit? It's an open-ended question. It gets them talking for a little bit. They might give you an answer that could be very helpful for you in moving forward in future interviews. And blurting out that you don't know who the target audience or who their competitors are makes you seem unprepared and uninterested in the job. Likewise, you would never pick up the phone to call a prospective client without researching who they are, what they do, and what they've done in the past. So showing that you've taken this kind of initiative will demonstrate how good you will be at selling the company's product or service offering in the future. And tell them you want the job. I can't emphasize this enough. I had someone tell me recently that they had a candidate lean forward, put their hands on the desk, look at them in the eyes, and say, I just need you to know that I really want this job and I am excited to work for this company. That sealed the deal for them, and their enthusiasm wasn't seen as too much, but it really benefited them in the long run. It's an aggressive field. You should be aggressive in your interview. You don't want to scare anyone, but it's appreciated. And after you follow up, do your due diligence. Say thank you and do your due diligence. One of the most important character traits in this industry is a diligent person. Or really in attempting any job, but in attempting to attain any job, but especially in this one. Everyone will tell you to send follow-up notes or emails to the people you've interviewed with, but continue to press for timelines. This is helpful, again, in showing how much you're interested in the company, but also that you'll be successful in the role because you understand this concept of need and urgency, and you're willing to ask for what you want. Now I would like to talk to you guys about some important personality traits. You can reference this in your resume, in your cover letter, in interviews. It's very important that you either be thinking about these types of skills or that you already have them. So first is relatability or comfort in connecting with others. In my opinion, this is the most important quality a person can have in a sales role. This ability to connect with someone. So this is fairly intuitive, but if you're uncomfortable speaking on the phone but you do know you can connect with someone, maybe you can give this job a try. You can learn to be more comfortable on the phone. It just takes practice. But if you're not comfortable connecting with someone, then that's fine. This just might not be the industry for you. Resourcefulness. Before you ask questions, stop and think if you can figure out this question for yourself. I learned this the hard way, and in a fast-paced environment like this, not everyone has time to answer your questions. If you can find it in your email or in a training manual, that's the best way to go about doing it. I once interrupted my boss in a pretty important meeting to ask her a question that I already knew the answer to myself. She very calmly but assertively told me that since I was a very smart girl, she was sure I could figure this out on my own. I will never forget that, and I think that that's something that everyone should be aware of. Confidence. We've gone over this. Any role like this will require you to be confident. Talk on the phone as if you know what you're saying. After I was working for a while, I found myself getting more comfortable on the phone. I didn't need to write down things as often as I did. When I first started, I was writing down everything I was planning on saying. But about a month in, I had someone ask me specifically, who do you work with in our geographical region? I panicked, couldn't think about who these people were, didn't have anything written down, but stopped for a second, calmed myself down, rattled off the first four examples I could think of, and the fact that I presented this in a calm, confident manner made it so that the person did not question the legitimacy of what I was saying. This is important. Then there's concision. This characteristic came up in an interview recently. A colleague of mine interviewed someone who had a lot of really great things to say, but had a lot of trouble ratcheting it down to what they actually meant in a clear and concise way. As I said, in an industry where you only have a couple of seconds to engage someone in what you're saying on the phone, it's really important to be concise. And perseverance. After a few months of working, when I was picking up more responsibility at the company, I found myself going home and dwelling on the bad things that had happened that day. If you go into the office the next morning and you're dwelling on the bad, that's going to come across on the phone, and it's not a good way to present yourself in a professional setting. So try and move forward. This is really important. In organization. I had a recruiter recently tell me that this was one of her biggest pet peeves when people said that they were organized in interviews. I was pretty taken aback because, one, I didn't know that was a bad thing, and two, that is one of my key skills. It's what I always say in an interview. What she said next reassured me. It's all about tying things back to the sales cycle. So keeping a contact on track, keeping with your follow-up, keeping demonstrating that we are trying to help them in some way is crucial for maintaining some sort of pipeline. So this pipeline management, as my director calls it, or managing the prospects that you have, is all about organization, but it's important to tie it into what the end goal of this business is, which is closing a deal. The last thing is tenacity. Above all else, a person in sales should be tenacious. Everyone has bad weeks, but you can't force someone to answer you. However, all of my managers have always said, if you put in maximum effort over time, your results will far exceed those who ebb and flow. So, moving into different areas. Instead of mindlessly listing crossover traits, I think it's more important to discuss the roles that you can move into and the specific skills to leverage for each one. So if you're coming from a position in sales, it's always important to kind of determine what motivates you. Is it money? Is it recognition? Is it building relationships? Or is it all three? If you determine this, this helps you figure out what would make you happy in a new role and what would make you successful in the long run. So at my company, people in my position, associates, have the option of moving into about six different roles. There are the option of sales, account management, strategy, recruiting, marketing, operations, which is not on here. There are a vast amount of possibilities. But due to the nature of a sales role, the fact that most jobs are compensated based on salary plus commission, and the fact that you are directly benefiting from the amount of effort you're putting in is attractive to some people, so some people stay that way. This is where motivation by money comes into play. So if you found yourself at the end of a quarter with little progress towards your goal and a very small bonus as a result of that, do you dig in and fight, or do you decide to focus on doing a better job in the coming months? If you answer both of those questions, then you should maybe stay in sales. If the constant stress of goals sounds difficult for you, then you may want to look elsewhere. So moving away from sales, finding a company with a variety of roles for upward mobility is always important. So if you're an entry-level position or if you're an entry-level candidate, try looking for a company that has a variety of roles to move into. If you're a more tenured candidate, you can still use this to your advantage. It's crucial for those of you who have been working for a while because your previous experiences paired with your tenure at a company will enable you to move up quickly as well. This is a variety in your background. If you're going into something like account management, depending on the company, a lot of account managers are doing a lot of the same things that someone in business development are doing. Their difference lies in the cultivation of a long-term relationship versus a needing to drive urgency in sales. So it's very similar. Both need these great people skills, but it's just a little different in the length of the relationship that you're establishing with a client. But the skills are very similar, and the tasks that you're doing are very similar as well. If you're moving into something like strategy, if you like understanding the needs of your prospects and the potential for growth into new markets, but you prefer doing exploratory calls and skipping the sales cycle, then strategy may be a good fit for you. Among other things, strategy is vital for the maintenance and growth of a company, and your work will certainly be well known and respected. Moving into something like recruiting is also an option. They're the first person you meet when you're interviewing. They're your liaison throughout the interview process, and our recruiters always say that they are also in the business of sales, but just selling our company. Lastly, there is sales to marketing. So sales and marketing are also kind of similar in that both require a great deal of emphasizing the benefits of working with your company. While marketing focuses more on analytics and how the company is perceived, a background in sales will certainly give you a good idea of who to target and who these target audiences could be for brand campaigns and what needs they have that could be influenced. Generally speaking, as another rule of thumb, for all of these, leverage the location you're in. So I live in the DC area. DC is a city full of consultants. The ability to, all the aforementioned skills I mentioned before are important, but the ability to think strategically is huge. It's very necessary to make suggestions for how people can make changes and move forward in a positive way. So this ability to drive urgency and need is huge in both roles. So think about it like that. Try and leverage where you are. Then we talk about moving out of it, or from a different area into sales. So if you're an experienced worker looking to make a career change, moving into a sales role can be daunting. Regardless, a lot of people do it, and there are several skills to highlight if that's a move you want to make. I've only highlighted a few of these positions compared to the last one, but these are the ones that I've seen within my company personally that have gone very well. So sales support to sales. If you're working in a support role, especially at a company that serves a lot of different industries, this gives you a wide variety of industry knowledge. Coming from this type of role to working in sales will give you a good base of examples to pull from, and it also gives you some good managerial skills to tout. Marketing to sales. So we've kind of gone over this, but you already know how to appropriately leverage a company's skills, strengths, and offerings to present them in a positive light. Add external prospects and some training in the sales cycle, and you've got a good position. Then there's account management to sales. So we recently had someone within our company move internally from account management to sales. She immediately began having a huge amount of success. I'm talking broke her goal by 200% in the first quarter. Everyone was amazed, and I was curious, so I asked one of her peers how she did it. She said that her background in account management has helped her immensely. She has a variety of examples of the ways that we can serve a client. She knows the specifics of the offering very well and has a background in establishing these lasting relationships with contacts. So remember, these moves aren't permanent and these jobs don't have to be for forever. So if you find that you're still thinking about what you were doing at your old job and wishing you were doing that, or even thinking about a third job moving forward, make moves to incorporate those responsibilities that you miss or want into your daily routine. Because the best way to move into a job is by doing it before you move into the new role. So, if you were late or you were eating your lunch during the presentation or tuning me out, which I'm sure a lot of you were, here are some cliff notes or what I believe to be the most important pieces of advice you can take away from today. So number one, common misconceptions. A job in sales doesn't mean you're sitting in a call center all day long without any creativity, and it can be a long-term career. Confidence. Half the battle is confidence. Be confident on the phone, and what you're saying will be perceived as legitimate, and it will be well received. And save your praises. Whether you create a folder in your email or print out these emails or print out proof of what you've done, having something to show the contributions you've made will take you far in any job, but especially in this industry where we're driven by numbers. In inner office processes, ask for variety in your everyday work. This is going to help you break up what you're doing, and you may even uncover a need in something your manager hasn't noticed, which will help your relationship run more smoothly. And note what you enjoy. This will come in handy in determining if and why you like your job and what you should be doing to keep yourself happy. This will also help you in moving into a new role. Lastly, applying and interviewing. So, use quantifiable accomplishments to make yourself seem like a strong candidate and write to the job description. Do not send generic cover letters. Know the company. This is important. Everyone knows it. This is important in every industry. And tie everything back to sales, bringing each point back to how you can help support the sales cycle or help close a deal will bring relevance to what you're saying and help maintain concision. And say thank you. Do so in a genuine way. Always send thank you notes to those who have interviewed you or who have helped you in any way with this job process. They will always remember the people who do not say thank you. So that is pretty much it for today. I have included my contact information in these slides. I will plan to stick around a little bit longer to answer any questions anyone might have, but if you have any specific questions or anything you would like to have answered personally, please feel free to shoot me an email or call me on my direct line. Oh, we have a question here. So this says, can you talk a little bit more about how important LinkedIn is for college students as they approach graduation? Most students don't get LinkedIn. Okay, so thank you, Chuck, for that question. So LinkedIn is a great tool for recruiting. It's a great tool for reaching out to people that you don't know, as I've said, and it's a great tool in sales. But if you're just starting out and you're a recent college graduate, reach out to people on there. The way someone described it to me recently, this isn't like Facebook. If you have networks in common with someone and you have several people in common, it could be a really good way to connect with someone down the road. So if someone connects with you and you have an industry in common, that's a good thing. You want to connect with these people. You want to reach out to them again. It helps you establish how far removed you are from these people, so it will list second, first, third connections. It's a huge way to get your foot in the door with a company, and it's also a very good way to, you know, help your friends determine who you're connected with and how you can help other people. I've really found that I've gotten help from it myself, and then I have turned around and been able to help other people. So you build your professional network that way, and you certainly are able to brand yourself professionally. So that's the other thing that I will mention. You can join lots of groups. You can explain to people what you're involved in so they can see, you know, what you're interested in. And you can list all of your experiences, so it's a good way for prospective employers to be reaching out to you as well. That was a good question. Anybody else? Yeah, the night before I got the offer from this company, I reached out to somebody who had gone to UVA with me, and she was working for a company that I was thinking about applying to. And I was nervous to reach out to her, but it was so well received. She wrote me a 4-page email about all the things that I had asked her about, and she was very receptive to speaking with me even over the phone or meeting in person. So I think people, especially in this UVA network, are inclined to help each other out.
Well, I'm going to pop in for a moment while thinking of questions. I just want to give a big thank you to Lane for this very informative webinar. We really appreciate all the information you shared with us today.
Course.
I also need to give a little plug for Friday Forums. I want to let everyone know that our next Friday Forum will take place in 3 weeks on May 30th. We wanted to avoid Memorial Day weekend, which falls a bit early this year. So on May 30th, UVA alumnus Jason McGill will tell us about a very intriguing model of business chemistry and how people interact in the workplace. I hope you will join us then. I see another question has come in, so I'll let you get back to Lane for more questions.
I'm not sure if we see any more questions.
Well, it was a compliment.
Thank you, Richard, for the compliment.
So I want to thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate you spending your time with us. As always, we've been recording today's webinar, and everyone who registered will receive a link to the webinar recording in an email later today. Also, please remember to complete the Friday Forum survey. So thank you again from Alumni Career Services here at UVA Alumni Association. Please join us again in 3 weeks for our next Friday Forum, and have a terrific weekend. Thanks, Lane.
Thanks. Bye-bye.